Hey, we want to tell you about a ministry that's really close to our hearts. Global Christian Relief. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are risking everything for Jesus, and often they're unseen and unheard. GCR exists to remind us that we're one church, one family, and that no believer should stand alone. They come alongside persecuted Christians with prayer, Bibles, and this is the thing, real help. Food, shelter, trauma care, so the church can endure and shine as a light for the gospel. When you give, you're not supporting a cause, you're standing with family.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Holy Spirit was the crazy uncle that you didn't really
never
talk
knew
about
he was showing
much.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, well, that guy, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit, but we didn't really talk about the gifts of the Spirit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Welcome to this episode of
Between Sundays with the Chandlers.
I like the way you say it better than I say it. Okay, dad joke.
Oh, man. Okay, so, you know, I actually know some Spanish. I took some Spanish in high school.
A little bit in college.
We went on a trip. No, I clept out of Spanish because we went to on a trip to Cozumel.
I know.
And I watched the, like, telenovelas. It refreshed my memory.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to clip out of Spanish in mm-hmm. college. And yeah. so I took it and I did pass, but it was a lot harder than I remembered.
First of all, this whole story is just like a giant flex. You're just like, I was like, so, I mean, I took a little bit in high school and then we went to Cozumel and I watched some TV and then I clipped out of college Spanish.
But I'd put my time in high school. So
oh, sure.
Well, anyway, so I do speak a little Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm, you know, with my friends, that's like their native language, I like to say mucho because it means a lot to them.
There it is, guys. Lauren's dad joke of the episode. And Man. There was another one you heard today, but you can't remember it. So we'll save that for later.
I heard it the other day, but yeah.
We'll just save it. You just need to.
There's an account, Instagram account. It's like Dad Says Jokes or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You get a lot of material from that.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Hey, here's what I thought we could do. Mm-hmm. You and I grew up in traditions where.
The same tradition.
The same tradition, really. Where the Holy Spirit. Wasn't really on the radar. There
right.
wasn't animosity towards him per se. But certainly, you know, I've heard guys, it's kind of like a zinger from the stage, you know, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Bible is the Trinity, right? That was certainly experientially, mm-hmm. I got saved into that environment.
Yeah.
And you too.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Holy Spirit was the crazy uncle that you didn't really
never
talk
knew when
about
he was showing
much.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, well, that guy,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we were big into the Bible and
yeah. praise God
and memorizing it. And so it's like, I'm reading my Bible and I'm looking, okay, this Holy Spirit guy, he's somebody, mm-hmm. but I don't remember. I'm sure it was preached on or touched on. I mean, if you read it in the Bible, they were going to talk about it. But there was no in-depth study of the Holy Spirit. There was no talk of what he does or what he did,
yeah.
What he's still doing. And then even like, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, but we didn't really talk about the gifts of the Spirit.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so we... The church I became a Christian in, First Baptist Church of Texas City, Texas, there was a church plant down the road from us, Abundant Life.
Mm-hmm.
Full charismatic.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were AOG or I don't know what they were, Pentecostals. I'm not sure what they were. I just know they were very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
And First Baptist began to lose people to that church.
Mm.
And then their response was to go at the gifts
oh,
of the Spirit.
Really?
And so I was a new Christian in an environment where they were talking about how the gift of tongues didn't exist, or how prophecy would take away from the scriptures, or how, and so that was kind of my first kind of experience. But at the same time, the friends I had fallen into as a brand new Christian, yeah, you want to talk theological confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of Church Christ
friends.
There we go. A couple of Church Christ friends. People have heard me talk about this. And a couple of AOG friends.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody thought I was a Christian.
AOG is Assembly of God.
Yeah, sorry. Assembly of God.
Assemblies of God.
Yeah.
Assembly of God.
So I think the church, my Church Christ friends probably didn't think I was a Christian because I hadn't been baptized in the Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then my Assembly of God friends, I think maybe didn't think I was a Christian because I wasn't speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my crew. That's who I fell in with. And so it was a good thing for me to have the friendship with like Rodney and Benji and some of those guys who were Assembly of God's kids on fire for Jesus, mm-hmm. and to be able to ask questions from what I was hearing, you know, on Sunday services.
Yeah.
And so how, like, if you would look at, okay, I grew up in this environment, you tell a little bit of the story of like, okay, how did you grow? Cause that's certainly mm-hmm. you're not there now.
Right. No, I'm not.
So talk a little bit about, and I think it's important to note, I don't think we're talking about the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit here.
No,
I mean, we can mention those, but
yeah,
I don't.
Not alone.
That's not what we're talking about alone. I'm not trying to make an episode advocating for the sign gifts of the mm-hmm, Spirit, but mm-hmm. I do want to honor and rejoice in the Spirit as the third person of the Trinity
mm-hmm. yeah.
and the difference He's made in our lives.
Yeah.
The difference He's made in our lives.
Yeah. I think for me, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, such a great like heritage
Amazing.
Of faith
yeah.
and Bible study. But it really, the Holy Spirit wasn't talked about much. But I think I saw my mom and my dad, but mainly my mom, because I think she was probably the biggest influence on direct influence spiritually, just walk in a faith that was consistent with what I read in the Bible, where she believed that the Lord did still speak to her, you know, and through His word, but also to her heart. And she was a dreamer too. She had dreams. And so to talk about our dreams and what they might mean was not foreign to us. It was just kind of natural. And we believed that God could work in kind of the supernatural ways by the Holy Spirit. And so that was something that was just in my home growing up, but there wasn't a lot of teaching around it.
Yeah.
And so I would have some experiences that I would find consistent in the Bible, but I didn't know how to define that. I didn't know. Yeah. And so really, when we met, you and I met, I believe I had accepted Christ when I was 8.
Yeah.
I think that was a real experience.
Yeah.
I think I was still like a child, and there was still some awakenings coming for
sure.
me. And one of them was right before I met you. The Lord had really, it was kind of this, God went from being, what is it? He was not just my Savior, but my Lord.
Yeah.
And I started to have a more of a relationship with Him instead of just, oh, I better be good.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that I wanted to be obedient to Him because I loved Him. And there was this season of repentance. And so I think I started reading my Bible more diligently. And it was in reading the Word that I start seeing all these experiences of the Holy Spirit that I had not experienced in real life. And so that gave me some curiosity. And then as we started dating and then moved to Abilene, and we were kind of on this
journey.
Pursuit mm-hmm. and adventure of, okay, we know there's more, what does that look like? How do we experience the helper?
Yeah.
Because Jesus says, you know, that he gives them to us. And so it he feels like far away, like that crazy uncle. How do we understand who he is and how he works with more intention than we had previously? And yeah. So then you can take it from there, but that's kind of my that point.
I love that. I know your mom well, of course. You know, they're some of our closest friends, and yeah, she does. She's got a tender ear to the Lord. I've always appreciated that about her. I think I've been a slow burn on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think I have maybe control issues, might be a way to talk about that. And so I think those control issues, you know, I kept having these moments with the Spirit where, you know, the first one's in the late 1900s when I'm in India.
The late 1900s.
And I'm in India and I'm seeing things happen there. Mm-hmm. That are clearly from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the category I had been given for what I was seeing was, you know, you don't know what that is. That could be demonic. But demons aren't interested in watching people become Christians.
No.
And that's what was happening. But it was happening in a way that wasn't like presuppositional apologetics. It was power.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the loosening of the ground for me. And I wish I could say that when I just came back and I was just open to all things Spirit moving forward, but I wasn't. It was easy for that ground to get hardened again. And what happened is I had an intellectual understanding. So that's when I started diving into, okay, the theology of the, okay, he's not an energy or a force. He's a person. Mm-hmm. We see in the Bible, it looks like he has a will. It looks like he's the bringer of gifts. It looks like. So you've got this person of the Trinity that's unique and yet one. Okay, what does he do? Okay, he does the work of illumination. He helps in the work of sanctification. And so I knew the Holy Spirit like that.
Yeah.
Like maybe facts about him, not the truth about him.
Mm.
I think that's the way to say it. I knew about him more than I knew him.
Yeah.
And honestly, I didn't know I was supposed to know him.
Yeah.
You know, I was supposed to know Jesus.
Yep.
And Jesus is my friend and my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And he gives me communion with the Father.
Yeah.
But I wasn't thinking relationally about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's been such a long run, babe. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
Because it's gotten sidetracked a couple of times where, you know, I just kind of was like got super infatuated by the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are wonderful and given to the church for the building up of the body, but they're not the point.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that can get lost when people start getting excited about the Holy Spirit is it's they're not really excited about the Holy Spirit. They're excited about maybe what he brings.
What he can do, yeah.
Which, for me, still, even still sitting in this chair now, that tends to be the red flag for me.
Yeah, but I also think, I mean, I think if you just remain in that.
Yeah.
But I think anytime you get to know a person, like if someone like got to know you, they'd be like, oh, Matt, he preaches and he leads this church. And so they can kind of be like, it's, their first step of knowing you
is
by what you do and what they can see from afar. But the closer they get into you, the more they know you as a person. And so I wonder if some of that's like, okay, well, this is just part of getting to know the Holy Spirit.
I like that. I like if I put it in other kind of theological frames, I've met so many like, cage stage reformed guys.
What's cage stage?
Where you just want to put them in a cage for a while, not let them say anything or do anything till they calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you just call it theological puberty or, you know, it's just not quite matured yet.
Yeah.
And so I think there are other doctrines. Almost everybody, I think, swings from their tradition a little bit and maybe swings a little too far.
Yeah.
And then over time, you know, I think the Spirit kind of corrects that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my story.
Yeah.
For sure. There were things that felt safe to me and like helped me stay in control.
Yeah.
Helped me protect myself.
Yeah.
And so I flowed there. And then over time, the Spirit was like, or maybe a little bit more this way, or maybe a little bit more this way, or maybe a little bit more this way. And so super, super grateful about that. And so if you were to talk kind of day to day, since we're talking about between Sundays,
mm-hmm.
What's like, let's just take today or this week, or maybe the last week and a half, 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about practically what it looks like for you to know the Holy Spirit, hear, walk with the Lord, because he is God. He is a he, and he is God. He is a person, and he is God. The scriptures
mm-hmm.
are clear.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the weird uncle. He is God.
Right, he is God.
Hey friends, quick pause to share about a ministry we deeply believe in, Global Christian Relief. Across more than 30 countries, places like Nigeria, Iran, India, and North Korea, our Christian family is facing real persecution for following Jesus. Global Christian Relief exists to close the distance between us and them. They invite us into real stories like names, faces, faith, so no Christian is isolated or forgotten. Through prayer and generosity, GCR provides emergency relief like food, shelter, and medicine. They rebuild churches and homes. They even offer trauma counseling and get scripture into the hands of believers who are hungry for God's word. When you join Global Christian Relief, you're not just giving to a cause, you're standing with family. And as you step into their stories, their courageous faith will strengthen yours.
I think for me, it usually starts with my just morning prayer and meditation on the scriptures, Bible reading that I do, where I try to, and I don't do this every time, but I try on my best days to kind of quiet my heart and invite him into that space. And for him to illuminate my heart and my mind to whatever he wants to show me about the Father, the Son, himself, you know, and then me, like, what does he want to show, or other people in my life, or something he wants to show me that is particular to me. Like, I definitely don't want to come to the Bible and be all about, okay, what can I get out of this? But I also don't want to be like, I don't want to leave that part out.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be changed.
Yeah.
I want to be changed by the word of God. And so definitely come to it asking him to reveal whatever I need to see about God and about myself. And then just trying to stay in that place of listening and communing with him. There have been seasons where I've gone through the Pause app that Wild at Heart Ministries has, where it's just like 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 and 10 minute increments, where it just kind of leads you through this prayer of coming back to communion with God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And so using tools like that, just trying to listen for him when I'm with people. And for example, yesterday, our son is a mechanic, and went to a shop, and the guy that owns the shop, he was like, hey, I've got this car that I'm trying to sell. Can you think of anyone? I was like, you know, not right now, but I thought, oh, I'll just kind of sit on it. And even just like prayed, Lord, if there's someone, would you just show me who that is? And later that day, I'm at the grocery store, see a friend that I normally don't see at the grocery store like that. And I mean, I just saw her and I yelled at her. I was like, Kristen.
Yeah.
And we talked for a while and then I left. I wasn't thinking anything about that car. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, that car. And so it was fun to just kind of ask her. And so I got to connect them. So I don't know what'll come of that, but just like being open and available to hearing what the Lord might share with me, whether it's about another person, what they need, how I can encourage them, how I can pray for them, or just steps of obedience in my heart where what I read in that word today, that happened the other day where I was listening actually to Tim Keller's sermon and about just generosity. And there was a situation that came up later that day that I was like, this is an opportunity to practice what I just like listened to and agreed with. Okay, I can practice it. And I feel like that is the helper helping me see the opportunities to walk in obedience, which then builds my faith.
Yeah.
And then it tunes my ear to hear his voice more clearly each time.
Yeah.
So does that...
Is that what you're asking about? Yeah. What I don't want to do is like, because what we're trying to do is help people kind of live between Sundays in the mess of it. I just wanted to kind of draw out what it looks like to like keep in step with the Spirit as the text says, right? Walk according to the Spirit as the text says. What does it look like practically? So I thought you did a wonderful job. Well, the Holy Spirit does the work of illumination, right? And so you're right. I'm like when I got up this morning, and you know, I pray first, and then hop in my Bible. So when you get up, I'm not in the middle of praying.
Yeah.
And so we're figuring out that system. But like the first thing I do when I open the Bible is I'm asking the Holy Spirit to show me something beautiful about the Father or the Son. Just show me the glory of Christ, the beauty of God in this text. I just want you to show it to me. And then I want to be looking for it. And so that's an invitation right out of the gate for the Holy Spirit to show me something that what I'm trying to do is grab hold of it for the day, to kind of mix it around and pray it back up to the Lord and, you know, see if there's obedience that needs to occur in me or let gratitude bubble up in my heart. I'm looking for that. I'm not studying. I'm trying to encounter the living God at the kitchen island, and then it becomes from there it feels like an ongoing dialogue throughout the day.
Yeah.
And so if people have listened to me for any amount of time, they know I don't do cascading meetings. I need time after and before my next one to check back into with the Lord. If the meeting, something happens in the meeting that rustles me, I want to do some business with the Lord on that. Or if something happens in that meeting that stirs me up, I want to do a little business with the Lord. And then I want to prepare for what's next with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I want him to show me things. Oftentimes I'm asking him, who could I encourage?
Yeah.
So the interaction, like it's almost like this open mic thing happening between me and the Holy Spirit most of the day. Again, this is on my best day. There are certainly days that I'm not trying to say this is every day of my life, but I'm trying to get there. I want to get there.
Yeah, I do too.
On days that I'm dialed in the way I'm describing, they're like all the other things that tend to get on my nerves or bother me or, you know, rustle me, don't tend to have that effect if I've got that kind of open mic back and forth going with the Holy Spirit throughout the day, where I'm asking him to lead me, where I'm asking him what he thinks about this, where I'm asking him, are we close? Is this not, are we like, are we close on this idea, this initiative, this thing that we're doing at the church, this sermon I'm writing, this, so that back and forth for me, that has been beautiful.
Yeah.
And, humbling
and for sure.
And glorious. And so that's some of the ways it works for me. And then I'm going to ask God to heal people. I'm just going to ask him. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to heal people.
Yeah.
You tell me you're sick, I'm praying for you. And I'm going to ask and expect and hold it with an open hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I understand it. So
I remember reading somewhere, I forgot who it was, talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus when he was at his baptism. And if you think about a dove, like they're easily scared by, you know, like, and not that the Holy Spirit's scared. That's not what I'm saying, but more
that's what it sounded like, babe.
Something about having a quiet spirit that attracts the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so it's almost like this, I'm just curious. I'm just thinking out loud. like to quiet your soul to hear him, but then also to have him help you stay quiet.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can hear him even more. So when you're talking about those days, and I have those days too, where I'm like, okay, I feel in step with the Spirit. Like, this is great. How can I make every day like this?
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, maybe the Lord is just like, you know what? You got to grow some. So I'm going to make it hard for you.
Well,
for a while.
No, I totally think that's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard a guy talk about how those kinds of days, those kind of seasons are when God's expanding your capacity to receive him. Like it's pushing the walls of your soul out a little bit to hold more of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the days when it's not easy and you are pressing in and there's no real sense and you're believing by faith and you're trusting God at his word and you're remembering his promises to you, fighting to remember his promises to you. I've always, I just love that idea of what the Holy Spirit's
like
doing in that moment is expanding, kind of pushing back walls, kind of blowing out walls and rebuilding another one so more can go in me.
Yeah.
And so I think I think I've learned to kind of treasure those moments. Mm-hmm. Now, treasure probably is overstated. I'd much rather just get a sense of his presence always and every day, but it's just not the way it's played out for me.
Yeah.
But I think the Holy Spirit makes me really tender.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be his most prevailing work, is not provocation, but tenderness, like tenderness about the Lord and gratitude towards the Lord, and then gratitude for the blessings of the Lord, which would include like you and the kids and the church and Acts 29 and ministry opportunities and that because I don't, you might disagree with me, but I don't feel internally always that tender.
Yeah.
I can feel in fifth gear in accomplishment mode. I got to get things done.
Yeah.
And the Spirit.
Are you saying I disagree with that?
I don't know. I don't know if you would or wouldn't.
I would feel that?
No, I didn't know if you would disagree with me. I don't know if you would say, no, you're more tender than you think.
You're pretty tender.
I know. Yeah.
But there are days.
There are days.
Just like I have days, guys. Okay.
I don't win.
Few and far between.
Yeah. Amen.
No.
So yeah, I think that's been one of the signs that I'm in step with the Spirit is my heart's real tender towards people and towards the Lord.
Yeah.
And I like that feeling.
I think when you lack tenderness, and I think this is true of me and probably true of most people, it's usually when you're running on fumes and because you've relied on your own strength.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a good indicator if you are kind of short with people, lack compassion. You probably need to recharge and not like it. I like who said this? It's not burnout. John Tyson, did he say that at Altars?
Yeah. It was his breakout.
It's depletion.
Depletion.
So it's like, oh, you've been running on the gas you put in and not on
the somebody
Holy
was saying
Spirit.
That, you know, they've been, and then they pressed the gas and it just wouldn't go.
Yeah, it wouldn't go.
The car just wouldn't go.
And yeah.
Like, uh-oh, what do you do now? I thought that was pretty
good.
Profound. Yeah.
So that tenderness, I think, comes when you're in step with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's that Jeremiah 12:5 that I've been thinking about lately, which like, look, if you got tired running with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses?
Yeah.
If you stumble during peacetime, how are you supposed to make it through the thickets of the Jordan?
Yeah.
And I just love the Lord has to do it.
Yeah.
Not me, not by my might or my will, but by the power of the Lord, which is, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
To just rest and let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that doesn't mean I'm not doing anything. So where's that line for me that's probably another podcast for a different day.
I think it is another podcast. I think we'll touch on the repentance, the tearing down the altars that we've made, the idols that we still have, clearing some things out. Even what you preached on this past weekend, you know, where there's repentance and involved in it.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
For sure. There's something about fresh air and trees and being outside that's really replenishing for me. And yet, I think I spend 90% of my time indoors in front of a screen, at my desk, above my garage, or up at the office at the Village Church. And so I was excited when Air Doctor, which is like this award-winning air purifier that really eliminates like 99.99% of all kind of allergens and viruses and smoke and mold and all that stuff that's in the air. They were actually voted best air purifier by Newsweek. 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that when they plug these things in, the home feels cleaner and healthier. And so Air Doctor Pro is sponsoring this episode of The Overcomers. And if you will go, you will get $300 off today. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee plus a 3-year warranty. I think that's like an $84, $85 value. And so you can go to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com. And use the promo code Overcomers for $300 off any of their Air Doctor air purifiers. And so got one plugged in here. Love what it's done to my office. It has changed kind of the feel of things in my office. And so airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code Overcomers.
Okay, so we talked about what the day-to-day right now for you. What would you say to people that are like, I don't think I hear from him. I don't think I know what he sounds like. You're sharing this. I don't even know how to get there. What would you say to someone like that?
Yeah, I think the first thing I want you to do is get in your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be this kind of, like, it doesn't have to be weird.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to make it weird. I think it can get weird, but I don't think you have to make it
weird. That's something I want to talk about too.
I think if you just open up your Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to minister to you, to show you wonderful, beautiful things from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And like my prayers, what I want to see when I'm opening my Bible, I want to hear from the Lord about the Lord's beauty, grace, goodness, regardless of text.
Yeah.
So I don't care what text I'm in. Show me the glories of God.
Leviticus 15. Don't know what's in it, but I'm just.
I can tell you. Like, here's one of the ways the Spirit did this. This is a year or so ago now. Was in Leviticus, and it was about leaving
the margins
of the field. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a field. Yeah. We don't have a margin, but it was God's care for people.
Yeah.
Is the thing that, like, it just hit me that morning. It was early in the morning, and I'm like, how kind is the Lord that he thinks of us like this?
Yeah.
Like, these people who are in need, these people who aren't going to eat, they're going to be in a really bad way.
He
made provision for them. And that really stuck out to me in the middle of Leviticus.
Yeah, that's cool. What would you say to people that are, maybe they're just a little timid about the Holy Spirit? Like, maybe they've been burned. What would you say to them? Maybe they've been in a more charismatic setting where it was some abuse or misuse or whatever. What would you say to them?
I think every time if you study outpourings, if you study revivals, every one of them has excess. Doesn't take away from the Spirit's actual presence and power in those places. But First Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening, Azusa, you just go wherever you want in an outpouring of the Spirit. There's always excess.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that God's not actively at work and doing profound things.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant. Like, what I would want to know is what kind of abuses have taken place.
Yeah.
If what you mean by abuses is you've got tongues happening in a way that doesn't line up with Scripture, that's a whole different thing than are people using the Holy Spirit to manipulate and to harm and to abuse. That's a whole nother category. If you're in a place that's harmful, destructive, then I'm always going to tell you to get out.
Yeah.
I don't care how vibrant and ghosty it might appear. I would say go to health. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit brings order. It doesn't mean doesn't feel a little wild at first, but he's bringing order about. Sometimes he uses chaos to do that. So there should be some semblance of order. Jesus should be just the center. Like the Holy Spirit loves making much of Jesus.
Yeah.
Loves exalting Jesus. Loves pointing to Jesus. And so find some place that's serious about the Word of God and what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's how I'd tease it out.
That's good.
And so I think Spirit and truth is the way. And I'm not, that's not me. That's Jesus.
Jesus.
Talking about how true worshipers would worship in spirit and truth. And so I don't want anyone to stay in an environment that's toxic.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to think that it's toxic because of the Spirit. It's sinful men trying to use the Spirit to manipulate others and to self-exalt is how it most frequently looks.
Yeah.
And self-exaltation is poison.
Yeah. I mean, poison. It's demonic.
It is.
Is what it is.
That was Satan's play, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I do think, too, for people, I'm speaking about both of us who do care about how things look and want something to not look crazy.
Yeah.
There still is that element of having to be open to.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's not like, how do you want to do this? Can I consult you on how you want this to happen?
So true.
There is an element of humility you have to look foolish, to look undignified, you know? I think to really, and that would be even in your just personal life, like sometimes being obedient might to the Holy Spirit's nudges and trying to figure out, is this his voice? Is it, what is this? Even just having the courage and humility to like maybe take a step of faith that you feel like the Holy Spirit's asking you to do, in line with scripture. I feel like I just want to lay that down. But then, even just as a pastor, you know, who's trying to lead his congregation faithfully in all the things God, the word teaches us to walk in. And that would be pursuing the gifts of the Spirit and
eagerly desire.
Yeah. Eagerly desiring them. There is going to be a relinquishing of control to the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Do you have a struggle with that? What's that been like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm in a different place now than maybe I've historically been. I think I've seen too much now. I think I know too much now in regards to study. But yeah, I certainly want him to come in a certain way, but I also know he's not asking me.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been in some rooms over the last year, some of them at the Village, where the manifest presence of God was clearly there.
Yeah.
And so was excess.
Yeah.
And I remember I was on summer break and we were at a service where the Holy Spirit kind of broke loose in some unique ways. Mm-hmm. And there was this woman behind me, like yelling in tongues. And I was just like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And then she started saying, someone give me a mic, someone give me a mic, someone give me a mic. And I'm supposed to be off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if somebody gives her a mic, guess who's working tonight? guess who's back from summer break if somebody gives her a mic? Nobody was going to give her a mic, right? But there was much in that room that I absolutely loved and had prayed for and have pled for and contended for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many people got saved that weekend. So many people got set free that weekend. It was just so beautiful. And the excess was everywhere. And I hate the excess.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I wish it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be there. And so what I found is I have to get really curious and I have to get really low.
Yeah.
And those two things have helped me.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Is there anything there? And then not just be quick to go, that's weird. I don't like it.
Mm.
Because I think if you're reading the Bible, things get weird, man.
They do.
Jesus is spitting in mud and wiping it on people's eyes. It's a weird book.
It is a weird book.
Even weird for them. Not just weird because I'm in 2026 and they're in the first century. Weird for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I would like it to happen the way I want it to happen.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit's never checked in with me on it. And so what I want to say is, I heard somebody say this recently, and I just thought it was so true. If good preaching brought about revival, we'd have been in revival a long time ago.
Yeah.
And this was a guy, not from the United States, who was talking about how good the preaching is in the United States.
A lot of good preachers.
And
a lot.
And it's just not moving the needle, like, in regards to transformation.
Right.
So we've got more content than ever, more discipleship pathways than ever, more massive churches than ever, more worship bands winning Grammy than ever, and so little pushing back darkness.
Yeah.
And so that resonated with me. I need power, not to be seen as clever. And this is Paul's argument, right? I didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power.
Mm-hmm.
So I find myself praying that, wanting that.
I think just personally, there's some things in my life that I've faithfully prayed for, that I've done all I can, and there's a gap between what I can do and what I see happening.
Yeah.
And that has been my prayers, Lord. I need not power in a sinful sense, but like I need your power to bridge this gap here, because I've done all I can do and this is beyond me.
Yeah.
I can't control any of this.
Yeah.
But you can. You, where it talks about a man's heart and the Lord's hands, like it's like a man's heart is like a stream. And there, is that the Proverbs?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like butchering it.
Is it the king's though? Or which one are you thinking about?
It's not a king's heart, but anyway, it could be like anybody's heart.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, the Lord can like, he can shape and mold.
If he can do the king's, babe, he can do anyone's.
He can do my kids. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, you just mentioned it. I think our kids is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Our children.
Any
where,
parent.
Yeah.
I think
where
feels
you're
this way.
Putting kindling around their heart.
Yeah.
But you've got no matches.
Yeah.
You literally, you can't light it. And if they are just conforming to your Christianity without that being lit, then my experience as a pastor of one locate this place for 23 years is they eventually, like it's if they don't ever
it's
own
a yoke.
It, if the Lord never lights it on fire, it becomes a yoke they cast off in their 20s or 30s.
They cast off or they just completely fall under the weight of it.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
that's the other thing we've seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been fun.
Always. Okay, thank you for dialing in. I guess you don't dial in anymore, do you? You press buttons. How would you say that?
Dialing in.
I don't know.
I don't know. Thanks for streaming. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Between Sundays.
Thanks for pressing play.
With the Chandlers.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys.
Take care.
God bless. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.